You're listening to the teaching ministry of Pastor Randy Castillo of Harvest Bible Church, Arizona, where the Word of God is taught and lives are being changed. Please feel free to visit us on the web at hbcaz.org. That's Harvest Bible Church, AZ. Now please, open your Bible, prepare your heart. Here's Pastor Randy.
Because of you, Lord, we can have inner joy. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunities that you give us to come into your presence and glean from your word. And Father, this morning is no different. We are so blessed. We are immensely blessed. And Father, may we not take those blessings for granted. Father, we do love you. Lord Jesus, we need you. Holy Spirit, we depend upon you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, awesome. You may be seated. All right. Hey, a couple of things I want to remind you. Tomorrow, which is Christmas Day, they are having a Christmas feast. If you came to our Thanksgiving feast, it's just like it, but Christmassy. And it's gonna be from 2 to 5. From 2 to 5, so be sure to come back for that. If you were here for the Thanksgiving one, it was awesome. Such a treat, such a blessing. Also, tonight, if you didn't know, Merry Christmas. it's Christmas Eve, and so tonight we will be having our candlelight service. That is at 6 o'clock, and what we ask is we ask you to bring your favorite cookie. Now, that's, you know, cookies, plural, to share with other people. Because you have one cookie, it's kind of just like, hey, Pastor, it's my favorite cookie. It's like, great. Now, bring a few to share with other people. If everyone brings a few cookies, we'll have a great time of fellowship. And so, with that, I've entitled our message this morning, Why Can't Every Day Be Like Christmas? Or actually, Be Christmas. I'm thinking of the Elvis Presley song, but no, why can't every day be Christmas? And so when my wife was making the bulletins, I wasn't sure that this is the verse that I wanted to tackle. So yes, please turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. We'll look at verse 26 through 38. And if you need a Bible, the ushers will put one in your hand. Now, normally, I just pick apart the verses as we go, but I think we should read the verses, and then we will rewind and pick them apart. But let's read it, starting in verse 26. Now, on the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth, a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, and the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at the saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now, why can't every day be Christmas? Well, we're going to explore that. And you might be looking at that phrase a little differently by the time we're done. Okay, verse 26. Let's begin to pick this apart. Now, on the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now, sixth month. What sixth month? Well, we know from this and verse 36 that this is a confirmation, the sixth month of what? Of Elizabeth's pregnancy. Elizabeth is in her sixth month. Now, we're going to learn about Elizabeth here in a moment, but that's a relative of Mary. But at the same time, notice that it's Gabriel. Every time we see Gabriel, he's always coming with a message. Unlike Michael, who's the battle angel, this angel is a messenger angel. Now, by the way, the word for angel in the Greek is messenger. When you bring a message of God's word, you're an angel. When I'm bringing a message, I'm an angel. So, but this here is specifically an angel from the Lord. This is an angel from heaven, a mighty angel. And so they're in the city of city of Galilee named Nazareth. And you say, well, why is that important? Well, because Nazareth was looked down upon. It would be like John chapter 1, verse 46. And Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And Philip said, come and see. Speaking of Jesus, Jesus comes out of Nazareth. That would be like saying, can anything good come out of Bullhead City? Or can anything good come out of Needles? Or can anything good come out of Detroit? Why Detroit? I don't know Detroit. Yes. In fact, something wonderful. When it's God's economy, God can take any place, any person, and do a mighty work. And that's the point. God always likes to choose the lowliest to do the greatest work. And so he chooses Nazareth. Verse 27, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, a virgin, the virgin's name was Mary. Now, this is an amazing thing that's going on here. Listen, imagine this angel coming to someone in today's time frame. That would be miraculous, let alone in today trying to find a virgin. Good luck with that. But at this time, you could find virgins like Mary roaming around. But this particular one is favored by God. Why? Because she's godly, and you're going to see that in the way she responds. She's a godly young lady. Now, notice it says the person she's betrothed to is Joseph of the house of David. In Matthew, we have a lineage, and it gives us from David all the way to Joseph. But then you go over to Luke, and you have a lineage from David all the way to Mary. And the reason is God covered all his bases. Even though Joseph isn't the biological father, he will raise Jesus. And therefore, even the not biological father will be of the lineage. So there's no doubt that God has covered the base on both directions. Now, Joseph, he was a carpenter. And you say, okay, but listen, carpenters were one of the lowest positions in that time. The only thing lower than a carpenter would be a shepherd. Isn't that interesting that Jesus is referred to as a carpenter and a shepherd? Both of the lowest positions that you could have. It's hard to grasp that a carpenter from Nazareth is also the architect of the universe. The same one. Can you imagine if you had a table made by Jesus? What that would be worth. But think about Jesus as he was growing up. I wonder if every time he saw a rainbow, did he talk about the flood? I wonder if how difficult it was for his Sunday school teacher seeing that he is the Word made flesh. Sorry, teacher, you are incorrect. Oh, Jesus. Can't get anything past this guy. He said, know it all. Because he knows it all. Every year, going for the Passover, knowing that he himself would be the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. Even from a little boy, seeing the lamb and having it slaughtered and knowing that, that one day that would be him? Or how about what was it like for Jesus through his lifetime to go to funerals? You know, he didn't do any works. You know, you hear about, you know, Jesus when he was a little boy, you know, making a bird or, doing all these things. Listen, we know nothing of that. The Bible tells us that once he was baptized, the Holy Spirit came upon him and he began his earthly ministry. But what was it like for him to go to funerals? Now, we know he went to one, Lazarus. And that's the only one we know of where he raised someone from the dead. And the thing is I think the reason why we don't have a lot of accounts of all the people that were raised from the dead, I think, is to prove a point or to make a point that so few people actually get saved. So few people come to life from being dead in trespasses and sin. The scripture tells us that. It says, broad is the road that leads to destruction, but narrow is the road that leads to life, and few that find it. But what was it like for him to see people mourning and crying and seeing how life is so painful and then realize that he was the only answer for everyone? He was that perfect gift that had come down from above. Listen, he was older than eternity, and now he's born as a baby. He traveled so far to make himself so vulnerable. All of God's majesty and glory laid in a manger. And of course, Mary gets to coddle the infinite infant. See, all other infants are finite. She coddled the one infinite infant that would be forever. And then to watch him grow and to know that those eyes, his eyes, were the same eyes that saw galaxies and planets leap into existence as he created them. And she looks at those little eyes. She looked at the eyes that had no boundaries, had no bounds compared to what we have here on this earth. And yet, then she watched him grow up and watched him nailed to this planet. He who did not belong to this planet. And at this point, Mary is about 14 years old, 15, maybe in that ballpark. And she's betrothed to Joseph. Betrothed. Oftentimes, it was the parents who made up the decision, who made the decision who would be betrothed. Betrothed would be engaged. Now, the engagement usually lasted about a year, sometimes more, sometimes a little less. No one really knew. The only one who knew when it was time would be the father-in-law, who would tell his son, yes, it's good. Remember, Jesus said in John 14, verse 2 through 3, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come back and take you to be with me so that you may also be where I am. Remember, Jesus, he goes to prepare a place in my Father's house. Now, you hear this phrase, in my Father's house are many mansions. And I've heard people say, you know, I died and I went to heaven. I was walking the streets of heaven, and I saw all these mansions. I tell them, you know what? You had a dream. You ate something that didn't agree with you. Why? Because the scripture says this: in my Father's house are many mansions. That word is actually dwelling places. The word in the Greek means dwelling places. And so when a young man betrothed a young girl, he would say, "You accept my marriage proposal? Great. I'm going to go and prepare a place for us, and then I will come back." And no one knows the time. My father knows. So the young man would build onto his father's house, because once his father had passed away, he would inherit. He'd take over the house. And pretty soon you have a big, huge house, a big family. And then you become well-to-do. We'll look at that here in a moment. So they're betrothed. It usually takes about a year. And at that time, the young man would go and add on to his father's house. And then the dad would say, no, son, she's going to want more windows. You know, gals, they like a lot of light to come in. Yeah, dad, but where's my man cave? But he was, you don't get one, son. And so when it was right, the windows were there. Oh, she'll love a little garden here. When it was just right, then the father would look. He said, you'll make her happy now, son. Go get your bride. And then he would go. And isn't that interesting? Jesus says, no one knows the day or the hour except my Father in heaven. Same idea. Same concept. And by the way, if you've never heard the Jewish wedding, go online to HBC and then under special messages, look at Jewish wedding. It's really neat when you see the parallel between a Jewish wedding and all the things that Jesus said, it all comes into play. Now, this is very important. They're betrothed. They're not married, but they are betrothed. Now, if a couple is betrothed and one of them should have an affair, even though they're not married, they're considered to be married. And if one of them were to be unfaithful, they could be stoned to death. How different from today in the betrothal. In the engagement, right? They'll have, you know, the bachelorette party or the bachelor party, and oftentimes one of them will say, hey, one last fling before I'm off the market. But at this time, during Jesus' time, you would have to say one last fling before they put me in the casket. How awesome. I think it would be awesome, personally, if that was so. People wouldn't just jump into marriage if you knew that if you went off and committed adultery, you would lose your life. People would take the until death do us part a lot more seriously. Now, Mary, her name. In the Greek, Mary, in Hebrew, it'd be Miriam. It means rebellion or bitterness. And you say, wow, that's not cool. But think about this. Mary, she's highly favored. We're going to look at that as well. And so God is going to allow her to be pregnant without ever having been with a man. But what is everyone else going to say? She's going to be ridiculed because they're going to look at her and say, Mary, you're not even married yet. You're pregnant. And by the way, remember the story about Jesus at the wedding? Remember how weird the wording is there? Do me a favor. Turn over to John chapter 2. And I want to help you understand the miracle of the turning water into the wine. The first miracle that Jesus does. John chapter 2, verse 3 through 4. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. And Jesus said to her, woman, interesting. Men, don't say that to your wives, woman. It's like, no, don't do it. Okay, he says, woman. It's really a term of endearment. It's not the way we translate it. Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. Doesn't that seem weird to you? Here's why. See, Mary knows who Jesus is. She knows she hasn't been with a man. She knows she's pregnant. She knows an angel came to her. She's going to know all of that, but no one else is going to know. And so what she's wanting, she's like, aha, we're at a wedding feast. They're out of wine. Jesus can fix this. He's God. I know my mijo. So he says, Jesus, and he says to her, what does your concern, because that's what it was her concern, have to do with me? And here he goes, my hour has not yet come. So what does he do? He turns the water into wine. Nobody knew. He didn't let her proclaim it. She wanted everyone to know, see, I'm innocent. He is who he said he was. But he said, my hour has not yet come. See, the world doesn't understand that the Spirit of God entered into Mary. Instead, they just ridicule her. Isn't that the same for us? The world doesn't understand. The world doesn't understand that when you gave your life to Jesus, his Spirit came and dwells inside you, and that's why you're so different now. That's why, you know, Randy, you're a Jesus freak. Yes, I am. Listen, her name, bitterness. Listen, it would be bitter. It would be bitter to tell people, listen, I got impregnated by the Holy Spirit. Yeah, right. But I really did. My baby's God. Oh, yeah, every woman loves her baby. But my baby's special. It would be a really bitter walk. They persecuted her. She's like, Jesus, do this. My hour, Mom, what do your problems have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. I'm here to do my Father's will, is what he's saying to her. But that shouldn't, the world doesn't understand us and how we've changed and how God's Spirit dwells in us. But that shouldn't stop us from trying to give the gift of freedom and of life. Do you know this? Christmas time. It's not cool to re-gift, is it? But giving Jesus Christ, that's the one re-gifting that is awesome. That's the best re-gifting. In fact, that's the best gift you could ever give. And all you're doing is re-gifting. You received it first. Side note, this is Mary's very first Christmas. Actually, this is the first Christmas for anybody. She receives the very first Christmas gift, the Holy Spirit residing in her and an infant. It's not quite what she bargained for, is it? I found some videos of some people that are enjoying Christmas, yet it's not quite what they bargained for. Watch the screen. Sometimes Christmas doesn't turn out quite the way we think it will. Sometimes, folks, this is true. Sometimes Christmas is difficult. There's some people that Christmas time is hurt and pain. Sometimes Christmas is very hard. I heard an incredible story. I can't do it. There's no way I can do it. But think about Mary. Think about Mary. Young, godly, gentle, and she's virgin. What is she going to tell Joseph? Would he give up on her? You're pregnant? We haven't been together? But it was God. Yeah. What's she going to tell her family? Mary, how could you? What's she going to tell the people in her town, in her village? Would they stone her to death? Would they cast her out? Will she have shame for the rest of her life? Well, she'll bear some shame. But yet, in that shame, remember this. She gives birth to God, to a little infant, an infinite infant, the architect of all creation. She's going to hold on to him. And she knows what everyone else doesn't know. This little baby is a savior of all mankind. See, sometimes the greatest gifts that God gives us do come at a huge price. Sometimes the Christmas season isn't what we thought it was going to be, but if you look past that, if you recognize that sometimes the difficulties that we go through, it's our opportunity to give God the glory. Listen, if this Christmas is hard for you, and I've talked to a few people that they're just struggling, hang in there. Mary hung in there, and it turned out that God had a plan the whole time We see it from this side, but you know, you got to put yourself in Mary's position. I mean, it's like, oh, Mary had Jesus. How awesome. No. Think about it. What did she have to go through? Go up to Mary and say, hey, Mary, why can't every day be like Christmas? What? I can only handle one. It says, verse 28, having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice highly, favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Now, put on your brakes. Some churches seek to venerate Mary. They call her a co-redemptress. They say this, that grace comes from Jesus and then Mary dispenses it. There's nothing in all of Scripture that says that. Well, they say here, look at, she's highly favored. Yeah, but let's look at the wording carefully. Highly favored one, blessed are you among women, not above women. It's not blessed are you above all women. No, blessed are you among women. You're just one of many women, and you're the one that God chose. Somebody had to. You're godly. You do love the Lord. You are a good young lady, but you're just among women. God could have chose anyone. Highly favored. Now, you think about that. Highly favored. It says it twice about Mary. You know this? If you're a believer here today, you are highly favored too. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. Look at this. Ephesians 1, 6 says this, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. You know what that word beloved is right there? Highly favored. We are highly favored, just like Mary. Why? Just like Mary, who received the Holy Spirit in her, so have you. Merry Christmas. But you are, brothers and sisters, listen, and if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ, I'm going to give you an opportunity at the end to be highly favored of God. Listen, it's not always easy, but it's so worth it. So, so worth it. Verse 29. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Wow, she's pretty mature for her age. That's what the scripture is saying there. Listen, she was troubled, but she's not totally freaking out. She's troubled. She's like, whoa, this dude, is he real? It's like, he's powerful. I can feel power. There's God, there's righteousness, there's holiness there. Whew. But she goes, considers what kind of greeting this was. Listen, she's young. She's holding a conversation with an angelic being from another dimension, from the holy dimension, from God's dimension. She could have run away. She's young. She probably could have outran that angel. I'm teasing. No way. She's not prideful. When the angel says, you know, highly favored one, she goes, yes, I am. She didn't say, yes, I am. Tell me more. Tell me about my eyes. She doesn't do that. She's humble. And you're going to see she even gets more humble as it progresses. And she's sitting there as a young girl. She's like considering what manner of greeting. It's like, this is unbelievable. Wow. Verse 30. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Hey, wouldn't you love to hear that? Wouldn't you love an angel to come to you and say, you found favor with God? I have? Well, God's word says you have. You are worth him coming and leaving the heavenly realm and becoming a helpless baby in the arms of a 14-year-old girl that would have to take care of him and nurture him. God making himself helpless on purpose. The omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God putting himself into one location for you. Yeah, you are highly favored. We are highly favored. Gosh. And why? Just simply because he loves us. I didn't do anything to deserve it. You didn't. I could never do anything to deserve such a favored love, such a lavish love. He tells her twice. Verse 28, he tells her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. And then he says, do not be afraid, you have found favor. Man, wait. You're telling me I found favor, but I'm going to become pregnant out of wedlock? How is that favor with God? You ever been in that situation? Where you give your life over to the Lord, you're serving the Lord, and it seems like everything that could go wrong is going wrong. And you're like, really, God, this is your blessing? And he's like, yes, it is. Just hang on. You have no idea if you just hang on. She's going to be pregnant. She's not married. No one's going to believe her. She's young. They're going to think she's lying. Listen, sometimes we need to be reminded that just because we're favored doesn't mean everything's going to go and be wine and roses. Sometimes God's plan in his favoring of us brings the enemy's attacks, and God allows it in order to make us stronger. I think of Romans 8:28. All things work for the good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Listen, when you love God and you're called according to his purpose, all things. And Mary here is called according to God's purpose. And it's going to work for her good, for your good, for my good, for all of humanity's good, that she become pregnant and she endure some 20 years of ridicule before Jesus would display who he truly is. Or how about Jeremiah 29:11? For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of a hope and a future, not of evil. It's like, really? Yeah. Even when sometimes things don't feel like it, hey, every day can be like Christmas because you can receive the Holy Spirit at any time. And that is the greatest gift. Verse 31. And behold, you will conceive in your womb. I'm like, oh, that's good. Where else would she conceive from? Her foot? But the Holy Spirit wants her to know. Well, she's a virgin, so it's like, you know, okay, you're going to conceive in your womb. Behold, and bring forth the son, and shall call his name Jesus. Jesus is the Greek version of Yeshua, or Joshua. Joshua simply means Jehovah is salvation. So you're going to name your baby God is salvation. Why? Because your little baby is God. You say, how can that be? I thought he was the son of God. In fact, that's what the angel is going to say here in a minute. But let me show you. Here's a verse that is probably on half of the Christmas cards you're going to get this year and every year. Isaiah 9:6. If you want to turn there, good. If not, just go home and look at your Christmas cards. It says this, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, here you go, Mighty God, a baby called Mighty God. And here you go. And just in case you don't understand what Mighty God means, how about this? Everlasting Father. Everlasting, that means no beginning and no end. Who is the everlasting Father? God. So his name's going to be called Mighty God. In case you didn't understand what that meant, he's going to be called Everlasting Father. You get it now? And then on top of that, he is the Prince of Peace. Outside of having a relationship with Jesus Christ, there's no peace. There's joy. We can have joy. We can have joy. Joy lasts moments. Joy is based on circumstance. Excuse me, happiness. Did I say joy? Joy, okay. Happiness. Scratch all that I said. Don't listen to me. Now listen to me. Turn it back on and you can listen to me now. Okay. Happiness. Happiness is based on circumstance. Momentary gratification. Happiness. Happiness is fleeting. Joy is based on God's spirit and God's promises. And that's not fleeting, even in a storm, even in difficulty. That's why he's the Prince of Peace. He brings joy. We sing joy to the world. We don't go, happiness to the world. Why? Because happiness is fleeting. Happiness is fleeting, but joy can last through storms and difficulty. Now, the angel's going to verify for us that this is indeed the child that is spoken of in Isaiah 9:6. Look what he says in verse 32. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So the angel confirms, Mary, you've read Isaiah. That's the baby that Isaiah was talking about, the child. You are highly favored. And then look what Mary says. She's a smart young lady, smart teenager. Look at this. Then Mary says to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? It's not that she's saying, I've never seen a man. What's that? What's a man? I've never seen one. That's not what she's saying. What she's saying is to know. There's different types of know in the Greek. This particular type of know speaks of intimacy, knowing each other. Like Adam and Eve, they knew each other and they gave birth. So this 15-year-old girl is asking a simple and reasonable question. And she's also saying, listen, angel, I don't know if you're expecting me to go and sleep with someone to get pregnant, but I ain't going to do it. I haven't known a man, and I ain't going to know a man until I'm married. That's basically what she's saying. It's like, I don't know a man. So you're going to have to somehow make a virgin give birth to a baby. Now, that's a reasonable question. It's a reasonable response. But stay in this chapter, but go back to verse 5. Remember Elizabeth? Elizabeth is in her sixth month. Well, her husband, we're going to look at what his encounter was like. And you're going to see a completely different outcome. Look at verse 5. A certain priest named Zacharias, his wife was the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinance of the Lord, blameless. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren. And they were both well advanced in years. Jump down to verse 11. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. The altar of incense. Where is Zacharias? He's in the holy place. He's a priest. He's sitting there. The altar of incense is the prayers. It's the prayer altar. So he's standing there as a priest praying at the prayer altar. Look what happens. Then Zacharias saw him, and he was troubled. And fear fell upon him. Yep, that sounds about right. An angel comes, the holiness. You fear the holiness because we are unrighteous. Verse 13. But the angel said to him, do not fear, Zacharias. For look at this. For your prayer is heard. So is this telling us that at that moment, Zacharias was praying what was heard? Listen. And your wife, Elizabeth, will bear a son, and you shall call his name John. Listen, at that time, for a man not to have an heir was kind of shameful. A woman, if she did not have children, the other women would ridicule her. And so Zacharias, probably a good man. He has a godly wife. He probably loves his wife, and he probably feels her pain, and he probably prayed often at the altar, God, I don't know why you didn't bless us with children. It's been so hard. I do not have an heir. And the angel comes and says, hey, Zacharias, your prayer that you were just praying, God's going to answer it. What do you think about that? Verse 15. And Zacharias said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I'm an old man and my wife is well advanced in years. Not good verbiage. Good thing his wife's not around. Because basically he says, listen, angel, I'm old and my wife, oh, dude, she's way old. You know she's nowhere around because he would lose it right there. And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, one who stands in the presence of God, and was sent here to speak to you and bring these glad tidings. Behold, you'll be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. Okay. So why is it that he brings an objection? Angel, come here. Look at how old I am. And you think I'm old? Wait till you see my wife. That's what he says, right? And Mary says, hey, angel, come here. I'm a young girl. I'm a virgin. I haven't been with a man, and I ain't going to be with a man. Why is it that he gets punished? You want to know why? Because he's a priest. He knows the word of God. He has an example. Remember Abraham and Sarah? They were in their hundreds. And God said, Shazam, and it was a baby, right? So he has an example. There has never, ever, ever been, or never has been, or will be, a virgin birth. And so Mary had nothing to draw from. Zacharias had Abraham and Sarah to draw from, and he as a priest, knowing the word, should have drawn from that and had faith in God. So he kind of gets reprimanded. And so for the next months, he will be mute and unable to speak. Simple question. Don't we ask questions too? God, how can I be saved? I'm a sinner. Have you seen my sins, God? How can I tell others about Jesus? I don't know enough. How can I give? God, I can't give. I don't even have enough for me. How can I serve? I don't even know how to serve. How about this? God, how can I overcome this fear and anxiety? This is a horrible thing that I'm trying to endure. God, don't you understand? Can't you see that? And you know, the angel answers all those questions, and Mary's questions, and Zechariah's questions. He answers all the questions in verse 35. Look at this. And the angel answers and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. See, Mary is very special because this is prior to the cross. She is the only one prior to the cross that will have the Holy Spirit in her womb, not in her heart. But once the cross came, you and I have a greater infilling than Mary. Because her infilling was only temporary. Once she gave birth, the Holy Spirit was out of her, and now resided the fullness of the Godhead bodily in that baby. But you and I, brothers and sisters, you and I, we get the Holy Spirit in our hearts, in our lives, never to depart. What a greater gift. What an amazing gift. So the answer to all that, how do I serve? How do I overcome this fears and anxiety? You rely upon the Holy Spirit that's already in you, and you don't doubt the word of God. Wow. The answer to every question, the answer to every doubt, every fear, every concern, all of it is Jesus. Luke chapter 11, verse 13. Luke 11, 13 says this, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, we're looking at before the holiday season, we're looking at the gifts of the Spirit. We're going to complete it after the new year. We'll get the last session in there. And that verse, Luke 11:13, is going to be a very important verse to that message. You're not going to want to miss it. But how cool. You and I can ask for the Holy Spirit and more infilling and a greater infilling every single day. Can every day be like Christmas? You bet it can. You can receive the Holy Spirit every single day. Why in the world would we pass up that gift? And yet, sometimes we do. Let's continue. Verse 35, part B. Therefore, also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. This is now the sixth month for her who is called barren. Look at that. She's even called barren. See, the other ladies call her barren. How cruel is that? For with God, nothing will be impossible. Isn't it interesting? What does, here you go. So you got to be asking, I did the first time I read this. What's the correlation between Elizabeth and Mary? So there's another person across town I happen to be related to, and she's old, and she's, but I'm a virgin. What does that have to do with this? She's married. Nobody's going to look at her weird. Here's the thing. That little baby inside of Elizabeth is John the Baptist. John the Baptist, according to Jesus, comes in the spirit of Elijah. And when John the Baptist sees Jesus the first time, he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Now, right after this, the angel has come to her. And here's why I believe, another reason why I believe the angel tells her about Elizabeth. She runs to Elizabeth. And you say, so what? If you were betrothed and your girlfriend, your fiance, got pregnant, and she says, "I'm a virgin, and I got impregnated by the Holy Spirit." If a gal was accused of that, or if a man was accused or anything, it wasn't taken to a doctor to check to see if the girl had lost her virginity. You would go to a priest. Why? Because it was a sin, and therefore the priest would then take you before the council, and they would decide whether or not you were going to be stoned to death for having committed a sexual assault, a sexual sin against your fiance. So why in the world would a girl who, had she been impregnated by a man, run to the one person who could examine her and prove that she was lying? That would be like a thief running into a police station and saying, "Look at all the stuff I stole." But she runs right to Zachariah. She runs to Elizabeth. And the cool thing is, when she runs in, she's brand new, just pregnant. She's just by the Holy Spirit. But Elizabeth, 6 months, she runs in, and John the Baptist in her belly starts to move around. And she goes, "You truly are favored by God." It's like John the Baptist said, Mom, behold, it's the Lamb of God. And he's like, whoa. Even as a baby, he couldn't help but proclaim the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But all of this going on, it's like God saying, "I'm telling you, this is legit." Because she runs right to the man that would have been able to tell whether she was a virgin or not. The person you would take, you wouldn't go to a doctor, you'd go to the priest, because then it had to be decided as to what steps to take. And for God, nothing will be impossible. Whether you are past childbearing age or you're a virgin, God can do it. And we had a few older people in first service, and some of the gals began to giggle. And I said, "Oh, you want to doubt God?" He could do it. He can make anyone pregnant. I knew this couple, the gal had her tubes cut and tied, and she got pregnant. And she was like, "How did that happen?" Well, the tubes came untied and they connected back together. What are the odds? She's a Christian. She goes, "Had to be God." So that baby was a miracle baby. So ladies, doesn't matter how old you are, be careful. So maybe you're not past bearing age. Maybe you're not virgin. But listen, it comes down to this. Do you believe that God can handle every situation? Is there any situation he can't handle? No. For with God, anything will be possible. Anything. Verse 38. Look at Mary's response. Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord." She says, "You know what I am? I'm not a kid. I'm not just a virgin. I'm not even just highly favored. I am a servant of God, maidservant. I'm just here to serve you, Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. She says this, whatever God wants. You know, if I'm going to get pregnant out of marriage, and they might even want to stone me, it doesn't matter. Whatever God wants, whatever he wants, whatever is according to his will and his word, let it be so. I am just his servant. Is that your heart? Remember, Mary is highly favored one. And he made us accepted in the beloved. We are hardly favored. I want to give you one more verse before I give you my closing thoughts. Open to Ephesians chapter 1. You want to see this? This is our promise from God, folks. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5 through 12. This is our promise to you, to show you, to prove to you, you are highly favored. I am highly favored. If we have been born again, regenerate, if we accepted Jesus Christ, if we've been regenerated, if we're now alive from our sins. Listen to what he says. This is God's promise. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved, highly favored. In him we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. Also, we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of his will, who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. See, Mary, she suffers ridicule. She suffers hardship. She suffers some shame. But she bears Jesus Christ, the God of all creation. Sometimes God's plan for you might be a little bit difficult or difficult for you to swallow today. But he has a greater plan. Hang in there, folks. Now, Christmas. Whose birthday is it? Jesus. On your birthday, who gets the gifts? You do. On Jesus' birthday, who gets the gifts? You do. What's up with that? Listen. God, he deserves the gifts. It's his birthday. So, but what does he want? Well, I look in God's word and I see some examples of his birthday wish list. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, if you've never surrendered your heart over to him, that would be his most perfect gift that you could give him is your heart. If you've already given him your heart, then share him, re-gift him. It's the best re-gifting you could ever do. If you already received him and you're re-gifting him, then live a holy life. Not perfect, holy, which means set apart. Set apart unto God. And if you're living a holy life, then have a heart of anticipation of his return. And if you're anticipating his return and right now you're dealing with hardship, persevere. With all your heart, trust in him. Give him your trust and your belief that he will always come through with his promises. Listen. Mary received the Holy Spirit, received God, and then she presented him to the world. If you've received God, if you received Christ, then be like Mary and present him to the world. Don't hide him. Listen. Can every day be Christmas? You bet it can, because we can receive the Holy Spirit. Can every day be Christmas? Yeah, you can give Jesus Christ your heart every day. And say, Jesus, thank you. So, brothers and sisters, Merry Christmas. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for having us in mind. When you left heaven and made yourself helpless. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for having us in mind when you walked through this life, seeing the suffering and the pain. and saying, I'm not going to leave it this way. I'll do whatever it takes to bring hope and peace. Lord Jesus, thank you so much that you are the greatest gift that I have ever received, that we could ever receive, that we could, it leaves us not needing or wanting anything more. Father, forgive us when we take our eyes for what's truly valuable and put our eyes on the tangible things that pass away. Father God, may this be a Christmas where our eyes are so fixed on you that it's undeniable, Lord, that we have been impregnated by your Holy Spirit, that we have been changed, that we will never walk the same or think the same or act the same, but Father, that we would mature into Christ-likeness, to be worthy, to be called Christian. And Lord Jesus, I thank you that you were willing to die on the cross so that we might now have the Holy Spirit residing in us, the greatest gift ever, and that eternal salvation. And Lord, we cannot wait to be in our Father's house where there are many dwelling places, to be one big, happy, peaceful, glorious family, all dwelling in your kingdom. Because you are King, you are Lord. Oh, God, I can't wait. But until then, Lord, may we give the gift that keeps on giving, our Lord Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's stand and sing one last song. God bless you.